What a wonderful hymn. There is power in the blood. Jesus Christ has overcome Satan and death and the world by dying on the cross, shedding his precious blood for you and for me. Amen?
Amen.
Welcome, everybody. Sorry. I have a few announcements to make if you'll look into your bulletins. Today at 4:00, we'll have our Bible study. It is the conclusion of our journey through the book of Philippians. Stay tuned for upcoming Bible dates. And if you have any suggestions for next book or topic, please share with Pastor Darren. There is a maintenance team meeting scheduled for this Thursday, February 1st. At 6:30. There's a roof fund. Our building roof is in need in replacement, and we are seeking donations. And we're still collecting school supplies for the North River Elementary. We're collecting them until Sunday, February 11th. A list of suggested items is posted on our bulletin board. The Ash Wednesday service is Wednesday, February 14th at 7 p.m. Lent services start Sunday, February 18th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Sangerville Church of the Brethren. Moscow Church will be serving the meal for the March 3rd Lenten service. If you would like to sign up for soup, chili, or cookies, a sign-up sheet will be on the kitchen door starting next Sunday. And Saturday, March 9th, still remember about the roller skating for the youth, 4 to 8 p.m. Is there any other announcements you would like to make? Let us pray. Dear Lord, you are the maker of heaven and earth and all things. We thank you for this day and for the rain you have provided. We ask that you open our hearts and ears today to hear your word. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand together for the call to worship. It comes from the portions of Psalms 68. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those also who hate him flee before him.
As smoke is driven away,
so drive them away, as wax melts before fire.
So let the wicked perish at the presence of God, but let righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly.
Sing to God, sing praises to his name.
Praise him who rides on the clouds. His name is God. Rejoice before him.
Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered.
Please remain standing and turn to hymn 473, Victory in Jesus. Be seated. At this time, I'm taking some prayer requests. I do have prayer requests to share with you all. Continue to lift up the Imogene Michael family. The beautiful flowers on the altar are in memory of her. Continue also to pray for the Myers family and the passing of Jane. Pray for Nancy Bailey. She hurt her back and she's recovering. And pray for all the area churches. Are there any more prayer requests? Anybody else? Yes. Clatterball? So keep the Mary Ann Michael family in your prayers and Otis. Please keep Jean Armstrong in your prayers. Anybody else? Well, there is a joy. I saw on the birthday list that Mr. Everett Gardner's birthday is today. Happy birthday, Everett. I call on the ushers to collect the tithes and offering. Let us stand for prayer. Dear Lord, we give our tithes and offerings to you, our provider. Bless and use these to accomplish your will through this church. And Lord, we ask that you be with the Imogene Michael family, the Myers family, Nancy Bailey, Johnny Poffenbarger, Mary Ann Michael, Otis, Jean. We ask for your healing. You are the great physician. You know all our needs. We thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe see it. Children's Church and Youth Sunday School can be dismissed. This Sunday, we have seven pastors participating in this year's NRMA Pulpit Exchange. I would like to welcome Jamie Smith from Mossy Creek Presbyterian Church, who will share his message with us today.
Good morning. I think today of the words of Scripture when it says it is good to be here. It's good to be here with you this morning. I want to begin by sharing just three Scripture lessons. The first comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 15 through 20. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. From your brethren, him you shall hear. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear him again, the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speak in the name of the other gods, that prophet shall die. And from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all those who have pleasure in him. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works and giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are fertility and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. And finally, from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 21, concluding with verse 28. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority he commands even the unclean spirits?" And they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord, again, it is good to be here. It is good to worship together, to give you praise and honor. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart. For these things we pray in your Son's name. Amen. I shared with Mossy Creek last week that I find quite comfort in the order of the church year. It begins in Advent when we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ child. Then we celebrate for 12 days the birth of that child, our Savior. Then immediately we move into Epiphany, and that's where we find ourselves now, is Epiphany. And what I'm realizing, I need Epiphany. I need Epiphany this year more than I think I've ever needed it. I need that revelation of who Christ is, that he is our Lord and Savior, that he is our Messiah, our Emmanuel, God who is with us. What I like about Epiphany is that we are reminded week after week after week that he is the Christ. We first see that when the Magi come, the wise men come and bring gifts to the child. Then at Jesus' baptism, we hear the words of God saying, "You are my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We hear that when John the Baptist points to his own disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God," and they go and they follow. We hear it in an invitation, "Come and see, we have found the Messiah." We hear it in Jesus' own words when he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And they left their boats and they followed. And today we hear it when even those with the unclean spirit recognize that this is the Christ, the Holy One of God. So as I was reading and preparing for this week, I began to wonder who this man with an unclean spirit that shows up in the synagogue was. We know that he was loud. We know that he interrupts. We know that he draws our attention the way an unbathed, talking to himself, homeless man would catch our attention if they showed up today, this morning, at this time and at this place. The man with an unclean spirit is, for many of us, I suspect, the shocking and the intriguing part of today's gospel. But I find it ironic that he doesn't have that effect on the people in the synagogue. Those people, their attention is on Jesus. They are astounded by his presence. They are astounded by his teaching. It's like nothing that they've ever, ever heard before. Jesus has authority. His words mean something. They make a difference. And even that man, the man with an unclean spirit, is shocked and he is intrigued by Jesus. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. His authority fills not just that place, but each and every person that was there. And almost immediately, this man with an unclean spirit, he shows up. Just the presence of Jesus, the man with a clean spirit, draws out the presence of a man with an unclean spirit. It's been my experience that Jesus has that effect on people. His authority and teaching reveal the truth about his listeners' lives. It reveals the truth about our lives as well. This one person with the unclean spirit is an image of what the lives of those in the synagogue look like. His uncleanliness is not about personal hygiene, immorality. It's not about being bad or Judaism. Instead, his presence in their synagogue describes the disease of their soul, of their fragmented lives, and the many voices that they find within them. And looking at him, they see themselves, and they are astounded by the contrast of the one who has a clean spirit. What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? This man with an unclean spirit, he senses a distance between his life and Jesus's. He speaks not only for himself, but for all those in the synagogue that day long ago. And he represents everyone who has ever experienced the brokenness of life. He is the spokesperson for all who have feel disconnected from themselves, who feel disconnected from others, or even feel disconnected from God. This man with an unclean spirit, he represents the human condition. And behind his question is, I believe, the unspoken longing and hope that Jesus would say, everything, I have everything to do with you. And those are the words that can begin to put life back together. And you know what? We're not so different. Each one of us longs for that answer, because we too know the separation and brokenness of our own lives. We too have lived in isolation. We too have been trapped in grief. We too have carried the burden of guilt. The truth of those situations often reveals itself in the many personas that we wear. At some level, at some way, we all project various personas or images of how we want others to see us and how we want to see ourselves. Sometimes it can be as simple and silly as saying, I can't go to the grocery store looking like this. Or it can be more serious when we smile and say, yes, everything is fine. And then we quickly change the subject when the truth is that we are just hanging on by a thread and we're not sure how we're going to get through the rest of this day. We don't want our life to be seen in its unmade-up condition. So we use our personas. We use them as masks to hide the truth of what our life is like and of who we are. But the tragedy is that they also hide who we might become. It seems that those masks and personas most often arise from many voices that live within us. They are voices of condemnation and guilt. They are voices of grief, fear, anger. They are voices of judgment. They are voices that keep us in constant comparison and competition with others. They are voices demanding perfectionism, asking, "What have you done for me today?" The voices, they're never satisfied. We are never able to do enough. Every one of those voices is a false voice, the voice of the unclean spirit that separates us from our authentic self, from all that we love, and all who love us. A few weeks ago, someone asked me, why do I care so much about what other people say and think about me? I thought about that as I read today's gospel. I thought about the false voices. I thought about an unclean spirit, separation, and longing for acceptance and approval. And all those are contained in her question. She could just as well have said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus of Nazareth?" She could be the man in today's gospel. But then so could you. So could I. We are such funny people. Deep down, we long for intimacy, authenticity. But the last thing we want is to be found out, to have someone see us for who we truly are and who we are not. So we put on a good front, hoping that it'll gain us approval, that it'll gain us acceptance, that it'll gain us love. We say the right things. We act the right way. We dress and behave the right way. And we even believe the right way. And all the while, we are creating ourselves an image and likeness of the unclean spirit. The irony is that those fronts we put up, those personas, they keep us from having the very things we think they'll gain us. Things like intimacy, love, acceptance, healing, forgiveness, and authenticity. The personas offer no possibility for life to flourish and be abundant. And yet, we still hold on to those false voices. Voices that collectively ask us, "Have you come to destroy us?" And that's exactly what Jesus has come for. He has come to destroy. He silences our false voices. He casts out all our personas and makes us people with a clean spirit. He has everything to do with us. He stands before us in the mirror of the image of who we can become. There is no aspect of our life about which he is not concerned. He calls us into our true self. He calls us to be the one made in the image and likeness of God. He calls us back to the beauty and wholeness of our original creation. Today's gospel is as much about calling forth as it is about casting out. They are the two sides of the same coin. The true voice and the true image are always present. That's why the man with an unclean spirit cries out, "I know who you are, Holy One of God." He speaks from a deep place of knowing. His recognition of Jesus is at a profound level, a recognition of himself and of his holiness. For every voice that denies that and leaves us crying, "What have you to do to us?" Jesus says, "Shh, be quiet. That's not who you are. You are mine, and I have everything to do with you." Listen to that voice, and you too will be astounded at what can become of your life. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, as we hear the voices calling us and telling us things that we aren't, may we remember whose we are and that we are your beloved children. May we always realize that Jesus has everything to do with us. Amen.
Please stand in our closing hymn, number 467, Anywhere with Jesus.
friends, as we go out this day, may we continue remembering that Jesus has everything to do with us and that you are enough. Receive this benediction. Go now in the grace, the peace, and the mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may you be in peace till we meet again. Amen.